is the Most Blessed Podcast, recorded live at Most Blessed Sacrament in Arlington, Texas. Hello, Monsignor.
Good morning, Lisa.
How are you today?
I am wonderful. Ready to get another presentation to our parishioners.
Yes, this is an exciting one. I love the lives of the saints, and we are going to talk about some today. Those who we celebrate during Advent. And so we have quite a few. We might even be able to divide this into two podcasts, because I think we're going to have a lot of material to cover. Mm-hmm. So, but they're exciting. So let's start. Who would you like to start with?
Well, we'll start with St. Andrew. He is the first really major saint of the Advent season. And I have what I call the Lives of the Saints, a little book that I've had for a long time. So I'm just going to read a little bit here about his life. And all right, let's begin.
Let's do this.
St. Andrew, the brother of St. Peter, was a native of the town of Bethsaida in Galilee and a fisherman by profession. Being first a disciple of St. John the Baptist, he later joined Jesus and also brought to him his brother Simon, whom we know as Peter, with whom he became a member of the Apostolic College. After the dispersion of the apostles, St. Andrew preached the gospel in Scythia, as we learn from Origen, and, as Sophronius says, also in Sogdiana and Colchis. Okay. According to Theodoret, St. Gregory Nazianzen, and St. Jerome, he also labored in Greece. It is even believed that he carried the gospel as far as Russia and Poland, and that he preached at Byzantium. He suffered martyrdom at Petras in Achaia, and according to ancient authorities, by crucifixion on a cross in the form of an X. The body of the saint was taken to Constantinople in 357 and deposited in the Church of the Apostles, built by Constantine the Great. In 1270, when the city fell into the hands of the Latins, the relics were transported to Italy and deposited in the Cathedral of Amalfi. There we are. You know, we have the famous St. Andrew cross, mm-hmm. Which is in the form of an X. Mm-hmm. And I really don't know why he was crucified in the form of an X.
I know.
But Lisa does. Lisa, yes, Lisa.
He requested to be crucified this way because he deemed himself unworthy to be crucified on the same type of cross as Jesus.
Oh, that's, yes.
And he was tied as opposed to his hands and feet being nailed, is what I understand.
Yes, that is correct.
Bound, I should say.
He was bound, yes. It's interesting, his brother Peter, of course, was St. Peter, was crucified upside down because he said, I'm not worthy to die as my Lord died.
Well, weren't they just two brothers?
And then Andrew said, I'm not, mm-hmm. it's the same thing, mm-hmm. you know, I'm not worthy to die as the Lord did. Mm-hmm. So he was in the form of an X. So that's very good.
I did my homework. I'm so proud of myself,
yes,
for knowing
you did.
That. I do also know that he is the patron saint of fishermen and singers, and I...
Of singers?
Of singers. That's what it says. This is from Catholic.org. So I feel like they have some sort of authority to say that.
I don't know how that came. I never knew of him as being a singer, but maybe he was.
I mean, St. Cecilia is what I've always heard.
Yeah, patroness of musicians.
So. I don't know. But it says he's the patron saint of fishermen and singers and to several countries, including Scotland, Romania, Russia, Ukraine, and Patras. And his feast day is celebrated on November 30th.
Yes.
So
there we are.
Yes.
He's, an amazing man. You know, he was first the disciple of John the Baptist, and mm-hmm. then he was He was mesmerized by Jesus and then began to truly believe he was the Messiah. And that's when he went to get his brother, Peter, mm-hmm. and said, come on, we found him.
Yes. On another site that I found, it said, as in the case of all apostles except Peter and John, the Gospels give us little about the holiness of Andrew. He was an apostle, and that is enough.
Very good. Obviously, he was very close to Jesus mm-hmm. because he was part of the, it was always Peter, Andrew, James, and John. Mm-hmm. They were the inner circle.
And Andrew was the one who told Jesus about the boy with the fishes and the loaves. And mm-hmm. then there was another time, and I probably have it highlighted in here somewhere, but something happened and Jesus went to Andrew with it, like conferred with Andrew on, let me see if I can find it. Probably not, because...
Wasn't it also dealing with the feeding of the people?
It could have been. Let me see.
Go ahead.
Good social skills. It says, I don't know what it was. According to Philip, wanted to speak about the Greek. When Philip wanted to speak to Jesus about Greeks seeking him, he spoke to Andrew first. Andrew was also present at the Last Supper. I think we all knew that, though.
Well, he's very close to Jesus. Mm-hmm. The next person we need to speak of for a moment is our Blessed Lady, the Blessed Mother, because she has two major feasts in the Advent season. Mm-hmm. One is the Feast of the Immaculate Conception on December the 8th, where we honor her as being conceived without original sin in the womb of her mother, who was Saint Anne, according to tradition. And she's the only human being, next to our Lord, of course, who was conceived without sin mm-hmm. and never committed sin in her life. She was always sinless. A wonderful. And that gift, we have to remember, she received that gift through the redemptive act of Jesus, meaning that his death on the cross, the graces that flowed out of his death on the cross, enabled his mother to be conceived without sin and to live a life without sin. So every human being is affected by the death of Christ, including the Blessed Mother. She's only received those gifts because of Christ, mm-hmm. even though she was his mother, but he is God. The other feast is December the 12th, Our Lady of Guadalupe. She is the patroness of the Americas, Our Lady of Guadalupe. Mm-hmm. And of course, she appeared in Mexico, right outside Mexico City in 1531, on December the 9th, to an Indian that we'll be talking about in a few minutes, Juan Diego. And she revealed two major things. Well, really, there are three things that went on. If you've ever seen the image of Our Lady of Guadalupe, you look closely at her, she is pregnant. And why is that? Because the Aztec Indians, they worship pagan gods and they have these strange customs. But one of their customs was to sacrifice babies to their god. And so Mary appeared pregnant to show the dignity and the respect of human life, the child in the womb. And that was the beginning, from out of that image was the beginning of the conversion of the Indians to the Catholic faith. And shortly after her apparition to Juan Diego, there was over a million of the Indians converted to the faith. It's a wonderful story. Mm-hmm. But Our Lady of Guadalupe, she was pregnant, carrying the Christ child, as a way to oppose the sacrifices that were going on of babies to their gods. Secondly, she told Juan Diego, she said, I am your mother, meaning to all the Mexican people, but especially the poor and the suffering. And I am always with you, she said. I will always with you. Mm-hmm. And she did ask for a church to be built there on the site where the apparition took place, which eventually happened. And now we have this beautiful shrine to Our Lady of Guadalupe right outside Mexico City.
What a beautiful story. Can't wait to talk about it a little more in a little bit.
And so those are the two major feasts of our Blessed Mother during the Advent season. And then the next saint that we would like to mention is St. Francis Xavier. I believe his feast day is December the 3rd or 4th. I've lost track of
December mine.
December the 3rd. He was one of the original members of the Jesuit order. He had an interesting life. I'll read the little paragraph I have here that was, Lisa, you were so gracious to put in my hand. He tirelessly evangelized in the Far East. Busy as he was, he took time to set religious truths to verse and fit them to popular tunes in the countries he served. This was such a successful way of spreading the good news that his songs were sung in the streets. Xavier invested his missionary zeal in a way that yielded a harvest long after he left. This did not happen without hours spent in silence and prayer, asking for guidance and inspiration. I want to go to my little Lives of the Saints, and here we are. Just read a little bit of what they say about him. The beginning of his conversion is very interesting. He's called the Apostle of the Indies. He was born at the castle of Xavier in Navarre, Spain, in 1506. He was of noble descent. At the age of 18, Francis Xavier went to Paris to study philosophy. About 4 years later, St. Ignatius Loyola came to the same city and took up his abode in the College of St. Barbara, to which St. Francis belonged. At that time, St. Francis was full of the world and ambition, but the company of St. Ignatius exercised such a beneficent influence upon him that he grew to be a changed man and became one of the first disciples of St. Ignatius of Loyola.
Wow.
After he became a member of the order and was ordained a priest, he went to Portugal. That was the first place he went. But then in 1549, he carried the light of faith to Japan, of which he became the first missionary, and where a flourishing Christian community soon arose. He was also in India. He did turn his eyes to China. After visiting Goa, he set sail in 1552 to carry out his resolve to bring the gospel to China, but God was satisfied with his will. On the 23rd day after his departure from Malacca, he arrived at Sancion. On November 20th, a fever seized him, and alone upon a foreign shore, he died on Friday, December the 2nd, 1552, at the age of 46.
He was very young.
Yes, which was not unusual in those days, because people did not live very long.
Right.
So he was on fire for the gospel. He was the one, I think he returned to Paris one time. He wanted to go to the university there and just from the streets, he wanted to yell out, you know, you need to come and preach the gospel. We need people to preach the gospel. And he was so on fire with this zeal.
Yes, that's what I read, was that he conducted his life's work with great vitality and zeal. And that everywhere he went, he had laughter in his mouth. I would like to live like that. Laughter in my mouth all the time. I think God's love and providence for us would encourage us to do that, because who wants a sourpuss Christian? That's no fun.
Well, if you study most of the lives of the saints, most of the saints were very joyful people.
Mm-hmm.
I guess we could say they all were to some extent. Some suffered more than others, but there is a joyful heart within all of them. The next saint we would look at is, I believe, St. John Damascene, and his feast is on December the 4th. Probably a lot of people don't know much about him, but he is a a great saint in the church. Little paragraph here about him. The one who seeks God continually will find him, for God is in everything, says St. John Damascene. It's to this little-known Advent saint that we owe the pleasure of looking at religious art in a period of church history when others wanted to forbid the use of images. John Damascene insisted they could be used to inspire us. He suffered for his convictions, but now we need to thank him. Where would we be at Christmas time without our treasure of religious art? And they had a movement called the Iconoclasts, and they were a group that were against having any images of, certainly of God or of saints. And it was taken from the first commandment that God gave to Moses. You know, I am the Lord thy God, thou shalt not have other gods before me. Mm-hmm. And then if you read in the book of Exodus where it was given to Moses, it talks about there can be no images, no false. But we have to understand what they were talking about.
Right.
God was forbidding them to be used as that they take the place of God, that they worship those statues. The statues in religious art is simply to inspire us towards God and the saints. So John Damascene fought against this movement to do away with religious art. And so in many ways, we have it today because of him.
And I'm very happy about that because
I think
religious art will inspire people and encourage people to seek out more about what this piece of art is and how better to share the love of Christ than with art. For people who are inspired by art. Some people are not inspired by art, and, you know, that's okay, too. But I'm happy that we have pictures of, we have some beautiful art here in our church. We have the picture in the chapel of the Divine Mercy, Jesus, the Divine Mercy. And then we also have the picture of Mary.
We have our Mother of Perpetual Help.
That's the one.
That's in the
Perpetual
chapel.
Help, yes.
And
yes.
Then there's a beautiful picture of Our Lady in the foyer right outside the chapel area, near the tabernacle area.
Mm-hmm.
So we do. We have some lovely art pictures here in the church.
And some beautiful statues. We have the beautiful statue of, the crucifix in the church. We also have the beautiful statue of Mary in the church. And we have the Mary and the Joseph outside the church. Our church just wouldn't be the same without those things.
No, it wouldn't be.
Well, we're going to end this one there. I think that's a great place to end that one. So, so thank you everyone for listening thus far, and we'll be back next week with some more saints.
That's right.
Thank you for listening. If you have any comments, questions, or concerns, please send them to mbspodcast@mbs.church. Have a blessed day.